When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The teeth behind the wallpaper, Camden's bleeding walls. Greetings, seekers of shadow. Tonight, we peel back the veil on a truly chilling chapter, one etched in the annals of inexplicable terror. Our journey takes us to the gritty, often forgotten streets of Camden, New Jersey, in the mid-1990s. This isn't a tale of ancient cryptids or primordial beasts, but a far more intimate horror, born from the very fabric of urban decay, a mystery that lingers in the unsettling silence of forgotten walls. The year is 1995. Camden, a city wrestling with its own demons, bears witness to a disappearance that would swiftly morph into something far more disturbing. Our story centers on a nondescript tenement building, one of countless structures lining the city's worn avenues. These were places of transient lives, of whispers and shadows, where anonymity was often a shield and a disappearance, while tragic wasn't always a cause for immediate alarm outside of close circles. This particular building was home to an individual named Elias Thorne, a quiet, solitary resident. Thorne was not known for having many connections. His life was a contained one, lived within the confines of his small apartment. When Elias Thorne vanished, his absence was initially noted only by a landlord frustrated by overdue rent and a mail carrier with an increasingly full box. There were no frantic calls from worried relatives, no immediate reports of a missing person. Thorne simply ceased to be present. The initial investigation was cursory, typical for a low-profile missing person in a high-crime area. Police checked the apartment, found nothing immediately amiss, and filed a report. Life in the tenement continued, its residents oblivious to the sinister secret beginning to ferment within the very structure of their building. Then, weeks after Thorne's disappearance, something profoundly unsettling began to manifest. Residents on the floors below Thorne's unit started to report a disturbing phenomenon. The walls were bleeding. Not a gushing torrent, but a slow, viscous seepage, a dark, reddish-brown stain that wept through the layers of old wallpaper. It looked like dried blood, or perhaps a rusty, viscous liquid. The smell, however, was unmistakably organic, a faint metallic tang that permeated the air, subtle at first, then growing more distinct, more sickly. The tenants, unnerved, complained to the building management. Initial inspections dismissed it as a burst pipe or some strange condensation, though no such leaks were ever found. The stains would dry, only to reappear, spreading slowly, like an insidious blot, making the building feel less like a home and more like a festering wound. The unsettling phenomenon persisted for months, a silent, macabre testament to an unseen horror. Eventually, the building, already old and dilapidated, was deemed structurally unsound, possibly due to the mysterious internal decay. It was slated for demolition. This decision, driven by municipal safety concerns, unwittingly set the stage for the true horror to be unearthed. Demolition crews moved in, their heavy machinery and eager hands prepared to tear down decades of urban grime. When they reached Elias Thorne's former apartment, the walls by now were a patchwork of stained, peeling wallpaper. As the demolition workers began to strip away the countless layers, faded florals, cheerful stripes, drab monochromes, each representing a different tenant, a different era, they made a discovery that would forever etch this case into the annals of the truly bizarre. Hidden between the plaster and the back of the oldest, innermost layers of wallpaper, carefully placed, almost embedded, were teeth. Not one or two, but hundreds. As layer after layer of the brittle, ancient paper was peeled back, more teeth were revealed, scattered and pressed into the aging adhesive. These weren't animal teeth. They were unmistakably human. The workers, initially perplexed, quickly became horrified as the sheer volume became apparent. By the time the entire apartment was dismantled, they had collected over 400 human teeth. The discovery immediately halted the demolition. Police swarmed the site, their initial dismissiveness replaced by profound shock. Forensic teams meticulously sifted through the debris, trying to make sense of the grotesque harvest. The teeth were analyzed. They belonged to multiple individuals of varying ages, suggesting a chilling collection rather than a single victim. And perhaps most disturbingly, they showed no signs of violent removal. They appeared to have been collected with chilling precision, almost ritually placed. But here was the paradox that baffled seasoned investigators. No bodies. Despite the discovery of hundreds of human teeth, not a single bone, not a shred of human tissue, not one skeletal remain was found within the building's walls, its foundation, or the surrounding property. It was as if the teeth had been deposited there, entirely disembodied, then left to seep their chilling essence into the very plaster. Elias Thorne's body remained missing. And without a body, without a crime scene, without any discernible struggle or forced entry, there were no suspects. The case became a macabre puzzle, a horrifying question mark in Camden's history. Was Elias Thorne a serial killer, collecting trophies? If so, where were his victims? How could he have acquired so many teeth without leaving any other trace, any other evidence of the bodies they came from? And why would he hide them behind wallpaper, only for them to eventually bleed through? Some theorized it was a grisly, elaborate hoax, though the sheer effort and quantity of teeth made that seem improbable. Others posited a disturbed individual, a collector of human remains, perhaps acquiring them from medical or dental sources, then disposing of them in this grotesque manner. But the bleeding walls remained unexplained. If the teeth were merely inert objects, why would they leach out a blood-like substance months after being hidden? The bleeding walls phenomenon itself added another layer of supernatural dread. Was it a strange chemical reaction? Or was it something more esoteric? A psychic residue of the horrors contained within? A manifestation of the trauma infused into the building's very core? The lack of any logical, scientific explanation for the bleeding, coupled with the impossible discovery of the teeth, cemented the case as truly paranormal for many who followed it. The tenement building was eventually completely demolished, its unsettling secrets buried under rubble and new construction. The case of the teeth behind the wallpaper remains officially unsolved, a cold case that chills to the bone. Elias Thorne was never found, his disappearance inextricably linked to the grotesque discovery, yet offering no answers. The legend of Camden's bleeding walls and the teeth they contained continues to echo through the city's shadows. A grim reminder that some horrors don't lurk in the wilderness, but are woven into the very fabric of human habitation, whispering from the dark.